gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show, back full strength as we get anyway. StephanieMiller.com, the website, check it out. Mama's vacation pictures are up already in the gallery section. And you can tell my, here's what happened, Chris, my eye injury?
Yeah.
It's taken pretty much almost a month to heal.
Oh, my God.
So that was a bad, and it is still a lava lamp. The redness has, it's rotated completely around my eyes.
Ooh.
I went to my niece's for the holidays, and I made it spin around for the kids, and they love that. And it spin around like one of those little, you know, like doll eye with a little tic-tac in it.
Stephanie, who is in your studio? Because your microphone levels are really, really low.
The guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money was here briefly, so I'm sure he did some form of sabotage.
Okay.
All right. Let me do it. How's that? Is that better?
That's much better. Thank you.
Okay, then.
Yes.
Good. Bully.
Bully.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere to join the party. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, surly associate producer Rebecca Taylor. Is she there?
She's not here. Rebecca, get your ass in here.
Or me, Stephanie Miller. We hope everybody had a great holiday. Boy, howdy, did we need that holiday, Chris.
Yeah. We did.
What with Mama's move to New York and eye injury and all that, I had to turn Larry King down three times over the holidays.
I'm sure he appreciated that.
And my buddy Ed Schultz. I was trying to explain, well, if you've gone on the website, you've seen my eye. I'm like, no, you cannot cover this with makeup. This is a... Yes, I did. I did almost lose my eye. That's what the doctor said. It was, as you know, Chris, it was funny right up until that point.
Mm-hmm.
Until someone almost lost an eye.
Well, you almost lost your eye.
Yes. But I still, Mama has her eye. So I don't need that 10-year-old that offered me the eye, the glass eye. I don't need that. But thank you very much for all your kind wishes and offers of fake eyes. Oh, and one of my friends, I was visiting relatives and friends up in Westchester, upstate. And one of them did give me a pirate costume for Christmas, which was very nice.
Oh, that's so fitting.
Very nice. Very nice. Hi, Bex.
Hi,
Mr. What did you and Mr. Taylor do? It was like probably a Norman Rockwell kind of Christmas, wasn't it?
Well, we did. We had a snowy Christmas with his family in the Midwest, and then we traveled down the Bible Belt visiting churches.
Fun.
But I got to tell you, I had a nightmare about the show when we were away. And
more than the waking nightmare that it actually is?
I never dream about the show. So I had this dream that I accidentally booked that Republican guy, Jeff Sessions, on the show. And he was the worst guest I have ever booked, and he was boring, and I woke up crying. It was literally a nightmare.
That's a weird dream.
Yeah.
Here's the good news. We have booked Katrina VandenHeuvel finally for today's show.
Yes, we have.
And when I say we, I mean Rebecca. However, I did tackle her in the MSNBC hair and makeup room, which is really the only way we get guests.
That was about 3 months ago, and she said, oh, yeah, I'll come on tomorrow.
At least she finally made good. We will also have our regulars, Rude Pundit and Eric Bollert from Media Matters to co-host Right Wing World today. So we're back full strength. So, Chris LaVoy, what did you do?
Let's see. I went to Palm Springs. I spent Christmas at Disneyland. And I went to San Francisco last week.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was colder than a witch's here in New York. Can I just say that? Have you ever been in that kind of cold where it sounds, when you talk, like you've had a brain-related event? Like you can't really form words. It's so cold. That's how cold it is here.
It's been a while since I've been that cold. It was like 83 here yesterday.
But it was beautiful. There's pictures of Mama snowshoeing with Max and Fred. Red mommy boys. It's the first time they've seen snow.
Max! Fred?
Yes, they loved it. They loved it. They were chasing deer. That was quite new. They'd never seen deer before. And nor had they seen snow.
Did you put booties on them?
No.
No? Aren't you supposed to?
No, I did not.
Especially California dogs. They're not used to walking in snow.
Deer would laugh at them. Deer would be like, oh, we're scared. Maybe we should run. Oh, my God, they have boots on. Never mind. By the way, my trip back, not to the Bible Belt, but to visit my Republican relatives in North Carolina.
That's
mom,
the Bible Belt.
Right. Might as well be. Uh-huh.
That got canceled.
What?
Why?
I've never had this happen before because we had a snowstorm here in New York. Remember? Right before Christmas. And every flight was canceled out of LaGuardia for 3 days. I wouldn't say the name of the airline, Chris, but it was a U.S. Airway.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It was a U.S. Airway, and they couldn't get me out for 3 days. And by the time I would have gone, I would have had to come back because I didn't have a dog sitter person.
Doesn't New York get snow like every winter?
Not like this. I was like, what? You know, I love when they ask you that. Well, we can't get you out today, anytime, or tomorrow. How's the next day for you? I'm like, not good. What? No, why?
You know, you could have rented a car.
To North Carolina.
Yes.
No, we're rescheduling. We're going to do it again.
My family used to drive from
January.
Norfolk, Virginia to Boston a couple of times a year. It's not that bad of a drive.
Yeah, they used it as an excuse. They didn't want to see your hobo gas.
Why, thank you, Bex. And how about that Rush Limbaugh? All right, are you ready? I'll go ahead and do the first joke. So they did a test on his heart and found nothing. That's, wow. It's just nothing. But we wish him well, don't we, Chris?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. He had to one-up me, Bex. I bought the radio personality with the big publicity with the eye injury, and he has to go have a... Whatever.
I know. Where's your
national
story?
I hope the country fails. I hope his kidneys fail. How about that?
Missed it by that much.
We have confirmed the 58-year-old Limbaugh was taken to the hospital by ambulance after complaining of chest pain.
Thanks to dumbass.
Give you a heart attack.
And they found absolutely nothing wrong. No coronary disease whatsoever.
Damn.
This is a heart.
Rush Limbaugh.
Because their pain was real.
And a permanent stiffy from off-market Viagra.
And they don't know what caused it.
Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh.
Ask your doctor if your heart is strong enough for sex with young Dominican boys.
Just shut up!
Thank you, Shano. Yes, tragedy plus time equals comedy, Chris. He's fine now.
Yeah,
he's
and there was fine. Yeah, apparently there was nothing. It was like a phantom pain or something.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, what a puss.
He is a puss.
His latest honeymoon? Didn't I hear that?
Was it his honeymoon?
I don't know.
No, he's not getting married till July, I think.
Imagine the heart attack she had when she saw him naked. Oh, come on now. Come on. I thought, he was in the, wasn't he in the foreign, exotic, un-American place of Hawaii?
Yes.
I thought so. So.
Another right-wing operative called Hawaii, you know, a foreign place over the holidays. We got that coming up in right-wing world.
Mm. That's ridiculous.
I know.
Mm. My mom thinks Obama caused it because he was in his home state.
Oh, like that's a conspiracy, Bex, right? That was at the birther conspiracy hospital that Rush Limbaugh, like that's an accident, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I love the fact they asked him if he was on painkillers. Caused them to ask that question. Mr. Limbaugh, are you perhaps I'm just curious on taking 1,000 OxyContin a week or anything like that? he says,
computer says no.
Now, why would you think that? No, we were saying, you know, it's weird before the break, because I don't wish him ill at all, but I was saying the fact that he gains and loses weight so much, that's really a strain on your heart, isn't it? I mean, I've often wondered, like,
isn't that a sign of meth?
Yeah, maybe Rush Limbaugh smoking meth.
Entirely new rumors here on the smoking show. Isn't it meth? Maybe. Who can say? All right, we're just asking the Fox question.
Sure.
Here's what's going to happen to me next.
What?
Because I'm, you know, I pretty much, you have to hand it to me, that was a pretty good injury, almost losing your eye over the holidays. this will happen to me next. New York eatery patron hurt by falling moose head. A web designer, she was struck by the decor. You know, when you're injured by decor, you've really had a bad day.
Well, I guess it's better than being struck by one of those, you know, animatronic things at Chuck E. Cheese's. They could haul off and just hit you.
Or struck by your mantle.
That's true. Or a child could hit you with a colored ball of some sort at Chuck E. Cheese.
Mm-hmm. It's been a while since I've been.
Yes, at a New York City restaurant, she said it fell on her head. She filed a negligence lawsuit that a 150-pound stuffed moose head with 2-foot-wide antlers plummeted off a wall at the Scandinavian-themed White Slab Palace on October 4th and hit her in the head. Falling moose head. I'm just saying, someone that had a worse holiday than I did. All right. You know, probably it's just as well I didn't have to fly over the holidays, because we will be back with the breaking news on what the new screening things are ever since the crotch bomber.
Well, no, the new screening things have changed. You know, the rules have changed like five different times since we've been on vacation.
I've already sneakily evaded them because I, as you know, don't wear underwear. Ha ha. So. Because I'm like that damn shoe bomber. He's the one that made us take our shoes off. Mm-hmm.
Now we got to take our underwear off.
Now we got a crotch bomber on our hands, ladies and gentlemen.
I flew after that incident, and it was definitely more invasive. The pat-down was almost up in my...
Really?
Woo-hoo.
Oh,
was
now
it?
I can,
yeah.
Now, at least I know where to go to get some kind of social life.
Right, it reminded me of high school.
Well, I already said before, ever since the shoe bomber, if I have to take that much stuff off, somebody is having sex with me. That's even before the crotch bomber.
Although,
by the way, Bex, how many times have you heard that from a guy? I have liquid explosives in my pants. I mean, that old line. Now, they're going to ask you that at screening, Chris. They're going to say, is that liquid explosives in your underwear, or are you just happy to see us?
Mm-hmm. And most of the time, it's going to be just happy to see you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it'll be a liquid explosive, though.
Sometimes. Sometimes there will be a happy ending.
Yeah.
Sometimes not. All right.
Although, have you seen some of the TSA workers? Don't know if you want a happy ending from any of those.
I don't know if anyone would have liquid explosives in their pants for them. 17 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We will be back with the latest screening techniques and the war on terror. It's back, everybody, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Coming up after this commercial, I will be talking even louder.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
After the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. David in New York, Happy New Year.
Happy Hi, David. New Year, Steph.
Hello, baby.
I got two questions.
Yes.
One, it seems like a little habit that over vacation somebody gets married. So I'm wondering if there's a ring on somebody's finger since this long vacation.
Chris, did you get married? Because I fell
Hell
down
no.
on the job.
Uh-uh,
no,
I
know. In the last two vacations, Jim Ward got married to his lovely wife, Janiqua. I forget her name now. And Mrs. Taylor, Rebecca, got married on our last vacation. And I don't know. Chris and I have fallen down on the job. We apologize.
Oh, okay, and the second question is...
I came very close to marrying Max and Fred's fed my dogs, but that's a story for another day.
but that's not legal in New York.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yes,
the second question is your move to New York still going horribly miserable?
No, it's going much better now.
It was funny right up until
I almost lost my eye, and now that I haven't lost my eye, it's funny again.
Okay, because I was wondering if you need a personal assistant. I live in New York. I know New York pretty well. I cook, I clean, and for the first 3 weeks of the job, I would call you Miss Miller and actually mean it.
Will you wear a thong?
Say again?
Will you wear a thong?
Oh, sure. Would you actually want me in a thong? I kind of have a kettle booty.
It's 18 degrees today. All right. Thank you, David. You're hired. All right. Fabulous. There will be significant shrinkage there. Trust me, it is cold here.
Hmm. I hear it gets that way on the East Coast.
Oh, you know what? His first job would have been over the holidays. So I was visiting friends I hadn't seen in like 7 or 8 years since I lived here last time.
Mm-hmm.
And my dogs jumped in this. You know, they're white dogs, Chris. Generally,
right?
They're Great Pyrenees. They jumped in this pond that I remember from up there that is black mud. So they came out still half white and then half entirely black with this stinky. Black mud. It was like that carpet commercial where you in slow motion, you're like, no.
Yeah.
So, and it's too cold. It was too cold for the hose to work outside, so I actually had to wash both of my dogs in the bathtub individually and blow dry them. So that was quite a... I believe that was actually Christmas Day, which was really fun for Mama.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't have any drama like that with Jazz.
No?
No. No, he survived the move back to my old place.
Oh, that's right, Squatter. You got kicked out.
I forgot
about that.
Yeah.
Mama has renters in her house in L.A., and you, Squatter, are back in your thatch hut.
That's right. And Jazz couldn't be happier.
Really?
Yeah.
He didn't look at you like, oh, Daddy, what, you loser. What happened? Are we poor now?
Daddy, are we poor?
Daddy, can I have some more, please? Is there any more Friskies? All right. I mentioned the, if you're traveling this week, good luck. Good luck to all y'all. Here's the thing, Chris. It's racial profiling at its best, really. It's not everybody. It's, you know, those people.
Which people?
People from those countries.
Oh, the brown people.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Beginning today, air travelers flying into the U.S. from Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, Yemen, and other countries of interest is what they're calling it. I'm not sure who else made the list.
Saudi Arabia. I know them. They made it.
Awimbaway, we're looking at you.
Yeah.
You shifty people. They will be subjected to enhanced screening techniques, such as body scans, pat-downs, and a thorough search of carry-on luggage. Additionally, all passengers on U.S.-bound international flights will be subject to random screening. Airports were also directed to increase threat-based screening of passengers who may be acting in a suspicious manner. So that's me right there.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
You're always looking around the airport looking confused. So you always act.
Which city am I going to?
Yeah, you always act in a suspicious manner in an airport.
Oh, well, you know what I do? Actually, I don't act so much in a suspicious manner as a slutty manner.
Oh?
Yes, Jim Ward can confirm this when he gets in next hour. When we would go on affiliate trips,
right,
we would sit next to each other, and every time I got up to go to the bathroom, I would give him a little lap dance. Much to the surprise of our fellow passengers.
What do you do if you fly by yourself? Do you give the person next to you?
I'm just saying that would be a suspicious manner, I suppose.
Sure.
But, you know, you got to give Squeezy a little something if you're going to get him to go on the road.
Well, that's when he wasn't married. Now he's married, so he gets that from Janiqua now.
Hmm.
So he doesn't need it from you.
I don't listen. Our love knows no rules. All right. So the president was talking about the Christmas Day underwear bomber.
A systemic failure has occurred, and I consider that totally unacceptable.
Okay.
So, Chris, we'll get to this next hour, but what was all the right-wing hubbub about? May I just say this was not successful.
Right.
You know, and thank God for the passengers. I mean, I think that we are living in a different age where people react differently ever since 9/11 mm-hmm. to this stuff. You know, but obviously something fell through the cracks here.
Yes.
But thank God for the outcome, right?
Yeah. And Janet Napolitano, I think, was a little bit irresponsible when saying the system worked perfectly. No. I know.
I think she misspoke. She meant to say, I think what she meant is in the aftermath.
After the incident occurred, everything worked perfectly. However, the guy still got on the airplane with explosives in his panties.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Which is not working perfectly. You know?
Right. No. No, it is not. She said that she might have been a little bit distracted in the sense, Chris, that she has a few things going on right now. In the sense that, you know, obviously what they're doing now is pretty complex in terms mm-hmm. of how they, you know, track all this stuff and what they're looking at, you know.
Yeah.
All right. The president.
An alert and courageous citizenry are far more resilient than an isolated extremist.
Sure. However, I mean, you can't rely on the citizenry to protect the United States.
Well,
I mean, that's what the...
Again, right, I understand. Well, my point again, though, is here's the right wing screaming, and they're the ones holding up the appointment. They're trying to stop everything the president's trying to do, including appointing a head of a TSA.
Exactly.
They're screaming, and the party of no is obstructing like they do on every issue.
Yeah, Jim DeMint is holding up the appointment of a TSA director because he's afraid that the TSA will get unionized or something.
His fear of unions
is overtaking his fear of terrorists. That is highly irresponsible.
Yeah, yeah. I was reading, we'll get to that, the story of the holiday. Really, like, their only idea now, I think, in the next election cycle, is to repeal health care. When we get health care enacted, they're just going to, that's pretty much their only idea. So we can, you know, get discriminated again on the basis of, pre-existing conditions, yada, yada. All right, right back with Rude Pundit on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hey, you know, don't make excuses. She's a dime store hooker, and she always will be.
Oh, come on. It's gone up, hasn't it? The Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I may be cheap, Chris. I'm not free.
Oh, really?
And I'm not a tool like you. Andy in Madison said, Chris is a terror tool. Hello, Chris. Hello, Andy.
Yes, he is being a tool. Janet DiPaolo did not say that the system worked. She specifically said the system reacting after the attack.
Right. She never. She didn't say the system reacting after the attack. She said the system worked.
I
saw it live, Andy.
She couched the whole thing in talking about once the attack happened, and then she talked about the reactions to the attack. So she was basically saying the silver lining is the system worked as it was supposed to, but she specifically put it in the context of afterwards. You are repeating the right-wing talking point where they parse it and put it in the worst possible context.
Yeah, by the way, as opposed, Andy, to, let's say, 9/11, where the system did not work at all, you know, I mean, it just, it's amazing to me that we're being lectured by people that had the worst security failure in our history happen on their watch.
And what's really funny is, you know, this is almost identical to the shoe bomber. And they all were talking about that reaction as a success, and they reacted faster and better.
Yes, yes, exactly. Thank you. Catherine in Tucson, you used to be a stewardess on Nigerian Airways?
No. I was a ticket agent for Nigeria Airways at Kennedy Airport.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was it was an experience. Yeah. And my experience with this is that in Nigeria, the whole security situation originated in Nigeria, and why nobody's talking about that, I don't get it. Back then, and I'm sure as of now, the only way you get on a plane or you get a boarding pass is to give somebody a bribe, $50 or $100.
Mm-hmm.
You check in, you give them a $100 bill and your passport. They don't look at your passport. They give you a boarding card. You give them $100 with a boarding card. They don't look at your documentation to get on board.
Yep.
What's the big deal about on a wait list or on a watch list or on a not watch list?
Yep.
When he arrived in Amsterdam, he was in transit, and so he wasn't going to be scanned there anyway. And so the
mm-hmm.
whole thing originated in Nigeria. So why
mm-hmm.
on earth do we have to do a strip search on this end in Tucson?
Yeah,
it just makes no sense.
I tried to go to Nigeria once to pick up the lottery money that I'd won. I was unable to purchase a ticket. Thank you, Catherine. My sister actually lived in Nigeria, Chris. She lived in Abuja, and it's just as corrupt as you might think.
I can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Why did
she
live in Abuja, Nigeria?
Her husband does something shady that I'm not really sure.
Is that the one who lived in Turkmenistan? No.
Yes, she lived in Turkmenistan and Abuja and what's another one? She lived in all the stands.
Is she a spy?
No, he's an attorney in privatizing oil and gas, something. I don't know.
Oh, she works for the oil companies. Okay.
Something.
Enough said.
All right. Give me my papa, for God's sake.
Papa. Sleep, Papa, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Lee.
Happy New Year.
Is that liquid explosives in your underpants, or are you just happy to see me?
Oh, I'm just happy to see you.
Ah.
Damn it. All right. We got to say crotch bomber, Lee. What's the...
I like taint bomber.
Taint bomber.
If we're going to be more specific on where it was placed.
I mean, where was he going to hold them? Hold the explosives. Just tuck them right behind.
Yeah, well, right. Maybe he had some Olestra potato chips or something on the plane. All right. Rude! You know, one of my very favorite posts of all time of yours, you did a final... off to this awful decade, and there were many, many things that had to off, in your opinion.
Yeah, it was a pretty bad decade.
Yeah, well, starting with off Roger Ailes,
mm-hmm.
after allowing George W. Bush's cousin to call the 2000 election for his relative on Fox News, after destroying television news as we used to know it, he capped the decade by foisting on us all Glenn Beck, a man who will one day lead a group of brain-dead followers down to Guyana. And I think you were. What do you do after Glenn Beck? What else can you give the world?
I think at that point you actually just start bringing out animated characters, and make those your spokespeople.
You have a very nice off Bernie Madoff. Rude pundit against capital punishment, but Madoff should have been set on fire on the steps of the New York Stock Exchange.
With just somebody pointing to everybody passing by, going this. and as an implication of what will happen.
One of the most descriptive offs of the decade was the off Republicans in Congress. You spent most of the decade sucking the syphilitic Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld, turning yourselves into accessories to the crimes that have wrecked the country, and now you actually have the to think that you're in right in roadblocking even minor corrections in our self-destructive course. I mean, that's what we were saying. It's just this is all they've got. Now all they're trying to run on is, well, we'll repeal the health, whatever health care gets passed, we'll stop that.
I just want to know, is there anything that we can point to from the Bush-Cheney era that as a success? I mean, so they obviously, what they set up for airline security doesn't work. I don't know what they can ever point to in that administration. And I love that Republicans just simply will not speak of the Bush administration. It's like that's been somehow, you know, eternal sunshine of the spotless mind erased from them.
You have a bipartisan off in here, and that is, pardon me, Al Gore.
Stephanie Louise Miller.
Excuse me.
You caught it before the last two letters.
I did. You know what it is? I have not been playing with my box in a couple weeks.
Oh.
I've been on vacation.
You know, when you're with family, when you're with family, it's really hard to do that.
I know. Up where the goes. So, Al Gore, if you'd wanted to pinpoint a single reason the decade has sucked the hair off monkey, you would have to pick the moment that Al Gore decided to be a and give up on the 2000 election. And what should have been a slam dunk of an election, Gore ran away from the Clinton legacy and into a tight race with an inbred mongoloid.
Oh, jeez.
Which, yes, it's true. And then you say, you know, how you could have actually accomplished some of those green goals, Al, by being president. Which is true.
Yeah, and that was the one that pained me, because... You know, he's been such a mensch since then, but the problem was that he was a mensch then and said, all right, for the good of the country, I'll just give up on this whole dream of being president and transforming the world.
Yep.
Just because everybody was thinking he was he would be such a jerk if he tried to put the country into turmoil.
Yep. And one that I think we can all get behind, and that is off Joe Lieberman. The most aggravating part... Joe seems blissfully unaware of what a scabby sucker you really are. And that's true. That's true. He seems to really be happy with himself.
Oh, he loves it. Because, you know, people will come up to him after they've gotten, you know, all pissed off at him and say, they'll shake his hands and talk about him and on the talk shows. I mean, this is a guy who must get licked clean every night by his aides.
This one I think is particularly timely, what with the whole terrorism and the specter of 9/11 coming back, and that is off Rudy Giuliani, a ghoulish, greedy bastard who should have been whipped into the streets like a rabid cur after 9/11. Instead, the greatest non-Bush manipulation of the event, Giuliani parlayed the attack on his city into a bonanza, and it seemed like every mainstream pundit went along with it. Why wouldn't you want the man who presided over the degradation of his fire and police communication systems, thus leading to hundreds of potentially avoidable deaths, to be your president? Why wouldn't you trust the judgment of the man who put his emergency command center in the very building attacked once before, and who recommended a sub-bouncer thug like Bernard Carrick to head up the federal department charged with securing the homeland? And you talk about the amazing thing is he's still making money off this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Giuliani Partners is a security firm. That, you know, he's that's one reason why he can't run for president or can't run for Senate and or whatever, what governor,
yeah,
in New York,
yeah,
is because, well, maybe it's each of those, is because he would have to reveal things about his business and probably all of the entirely skeevy people who probably want to harm America that he is advising.
Yeah. And by the way, his last presidential runs went so well that Florida strategy was almost as good an idea as putting your command center in the World Trade Center.
Oh, yeah. He may as well have just had posters that said Nosferatu for president.
And, of course, your final is off George Bush, Dick Cheney, Karl Rove, and every member of his administration. And if you don't know why, then off yourself. It's like, you know, you don't even need to go into that.
I was going to just point people to the archives.
Yeah, exactly. That needs a big glossary. You can't just and then I love the because, you know me, mom's kind of not a technological girl.
Yeah.
But you specifically point out off internet porn. Like an overused CGI in films, you can see anything you want. If anyone with a webcam can film two legless Russian women each other with their wooden legs while getting by a donkey that's getting by an albino tranny.
Good God.
What have you been doing over the holidays?
Yeah.
Rude pundit.
Going to Tijuana or something?
Where do you find this sort of porn?
Well, I could send you the website. It's, I mean, it's a long www dot, but...
But I love you make the greatest point. This past decade, as isolated as television once made us, the promise of technology has amped that up and simply made us selfish, self-involved demand immediate responses. It's really true. You know, I take the subway to work now, and everyone has an iPod on. Everyone's texting. No one has any sort of interaction with anyone anymore.
As long as we've held off using cell phones on planes, it's like the last place where people actually have to sort of be in their own space. Although now everybody has their own DVD players or laptops that they can play DVDs on.
And, right.
Not that I want to sit there.
No, it's true. Everybody that you see, at least right now in New York, on the street or in the subway, I mean, literally either on the phone, texting, listening to an iPod. I mean, we will become really a civilization completely unable to communicate in person anymore, won't we?
Maybe we'll be able to divide our brains. Maybe that's the future. We'll be able to divide our brains between, just mindless motion and then constantly engage in another part of our brain.
Basically partition our hard drive.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I've seen teenagers together texting. I think they're texting each other. I think they're just, I don't even think they're aware.
I saw that this past week.
So did I.
They don't realize they could just turn and talk to the person next to them.
And little kids now, they take out their Nintendo DSs and they can text each other on that.
That's right. They certainly can.
They sit in the back of a car. I have observed this behavior. They will sit in the back of a car and sit there and text each other and giggle.
Listen to the crotchety old we've become. This
oh, my God.
Kids these days.
Luckily, I don't have a lawn, so.
All right. Rude Pundit, our every Monday guest. Thank you, Rude. See you next week, honey.
Bye.
There he goes, Lee Papa. He's my papa.
And his website is rudepundit.blogspot.com.
It was really rude. I been playing with my box more over the break, I would have been able to get the in the right place.
I almost had to dump you.
Yes. Listen, welcome to my life. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, right back with more on the underwear's bomber as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's full of witches and strange creatures of the night.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Eric Bollert from Media Matters coming up to host a 2010 version of Right Wing World in just a few minutes. Katrina Vanden Heuvel, editor of The Nation. Chris, it occurs to me she's a very good writer.
She is. She's kind of known for that.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
So I'm told. She wrote a great piece about what we need to do this year as progressives. We can't wait to talk to her about that in hour number three today. Charles in L.A. is from Nigeria, and he says, stop mocking him. Hello, Charles.
Hello, Stephanie. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I listen to you every day, every morning. I love your show. But,
you are a good, good man with exquisite taste in broadcasting.
Yeah, I want to respond to the comment the lady made that said she used to work for Nigerian Airways. She is very, very wrong at that. In Nigeria, anybody traveling out of Nigeria into the United States with American visa is thoroughly screened by American officials. You have American officials at every Nigerian airport screening everybody that is coming to U.S. with a U.S. document. Now, Nigerians are no terrorists. We hate that. The Nigerian people took care of their own, at their own end. I mean, this man reported his son to American officials.
Well, right, that's the thing I wondered, Charles, how that slipped through the cracks. His own father reported him.
Exactly. A typical Nigerian, if they know that this guy has anything to do with terrorism to hurt Americans, will attack this person personally. I mean, if this guy was in Nigeria and is caught in Nigeria, they will burn him to death. That is how they take care of their own problem. But because the American people failed, American officials failed at their own end to take care of this problem, it's not Nigeria's problem. We did our own, from our own end by reporting these people to American officials, and then he slipped through the cracks. It's not Nigerian's fault.
Yeah. Yep. I hear you. Charles, good point. Keith, it was our system that failed in this instance. Keith, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show from Palm Springs.
Good morning, Steph. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, baby.
Hi.
Hi.
Just wanted to tell you how much I enjoyed Hal Sparks last week and the week before.
Isn't he awesome?
I was. I was pulling a major Kyle myself about this public option.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hal Sparks is stopping us from being Kylie.
He really straightened me out.
What's interesting, Keith? You've got to tune in for Katrina Vandenhoevel in hour number three, because really her piece is pretty much about that. Like, you know, we are at an unprecedented moment. Let's not blow it as progressives, you know.
John Fugelsang was on Wednesday. I mean, I was looking for the safe word by that point.
I know. It's too. Trust me, when I'm in the same room with both of them. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Keith. Really good piece. And kind of what we've been talking about, Chris. And when we say Kyle, it's Jim Ward's character during the Democratic primaries.
Mm-hmm.
The people just get a little screamy.
Yeah, if they can't get everything they want. Yeah.
I'm good. Governator.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
It's not helpful, though.
No. Hal actually kept me feeling positive about healthcare, because look, we all didn't get everything we want, but you know, this is what the nation is talking about, is that, you know, of course, like anybody else in the history of this country, we're confronting political hopes and optimism, confronting reality. You know, with the how things get done in Washington, particularly with the obstructionist Republicans these days.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, she's right in that the last thing we need to do is turn on each other, whether it's on healthcare or anything else.
Right.
Yes. All right. So we will talk to her about that in just a little bit. The president talking about the Christmas Day bomber again.
We know that he traveled to Yemen, a country grappling with crushing poverty and deadly insurgencies. It appears that he joined an affiliate of Al-Qaeda, and that this group, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, trained him, equipped him with those explosives, and directed him to attack that plane headed for America.
Chris, now, because I was actively boycotting news over the holidays.
Yeah, I kind of was too, but go ahead.
Yes, but so what? I don't know the mechanics of what I've rarely used an underwear bomb, only on a couple of occasions.
Mm-hmm.
What happened exactly? So it was supposed to just blow him and the whole plane up? And
yeah, well, it was a, you know, a small amount of explosives, but it was a powerful amount of explosives.
Right.
And it could have blown a hole through the plane. Yeah.
But did he need a lighter or something? Because you remember Richard Reed, the shoe bomber. He was trying to actually light the thing in his shoe. What's happening here? I know there was, like, sound and there was smell, right?
Right, and there was smoke, and I don't know if you saw the picture of the underwear, the aftermath of the underwear.
There, oh, I did not.
Oh,
did
yeah.
It
was singed. It was burned. It was, there were, yeah, it looked pretty bad. And, yeah, I guess there was a fire on his lap.
Really?
Yeah, one of the passengers.
Did he burn his pee-pee?
I don't know if the medical report has come out
wrong?
About that
yet. Is it
yet?
Wrong to hope that he did?
I hope he burned his pee-pee, but I don't
Is
think we know that.
Is it wrong to hope that he blew his own off? Just asking. Anyway, so it malfunctioned, I take it.
Yeah. Yeah, much like the shoe bomber's shoe, you know, malfunctioned, I suppose.
No, because what I'm wondering is, had the other passengers not intervened, would it have worked, or did the whole thing just malfunction?
It sounds like it malfunctioned. He got some bad training from Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula.
He went to the Acme school.
Yeah.
So it just, because when you said they put the singed underwear up, I was just laughing. I was picturing like something that blew up on Wile E. Coyote. Afterwards, and it's just his hair is all, you know.
Like an exploding cigar.
Dancing hair, right. And then that darn Roadrunner made the cigar explode.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he went to the Acme version of Al-Qaeda, where they just told him how to put the hole in the side of the mountain. And
the portable
rocket
hole?
Rocket skates. Yeah, the portable hole and then the rocket skates.
But the portable hole didn't work, and so he just slammed right into the side of the mountain.
Maybe this was technically exploding birdseed is what it was.
That could be it. Maybe that was his problem.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't. Maybe he just missed. Maybe he slept in that day. He overslept the day they explained how you actually activate the exploding birdseed.
He missed class that day.
Or maybe it only works in the portable hole in the side of the mountain while on rocket skates. Maybe he didn't listen to the whole, you know.
Yes, but when you're in an airplane, you're not near a side of a mountain, so you can't put a portable hole on it.
That may have been the problem.
There's the problem right there. He couldn't use a portable hole in Delta Airlines.
Did they check his belongings or anything? Was it like, you know, what was in that astronaut's trunk? Remember there was like an...
The hammer with a spring on it.
Hammer with a spring.
Uh-huh.
There was rocket skates.
Yeah.
What else was it?
Exploding birdseed.
Something else.
Diapers,
which is
what this guy had. I mean,
the
underwear really did look like granny panties. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exploded granny panties, but they were granny panties nonetheless.
Right, right. Maybe, all I'm saying is maybe it was the wrong, maybe he misunderstood, maybe he just had eaten the, wow, potato chips or something like that. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, we will be back more on the foiled terror plot, right-wing world, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy New Year, everybody. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number is toll free from anywhere.
You just went into like morning wacky zoo DJ voice there.
My eye is all healed and I'm a puker now. Good morning, everybody. All the breakfast flakes are here.
Good morning, everybody.
It's Jim Ward, voice theater store there. Good morning. Happy New Year, Jim.
Happy New Year to you.
How was your holiday?
Oh, uneventful.
Really?
Pretty much stayed home. Rode our bikes. Yeah.
Cool.
You did what?
Rode bikes.
And
we have the bike trail, you know, near our house.
Oh.
You know, so, yeah.
Yeah, I tried to do that. I actually brought my bike upstate, and it was, I believe, they said it was 17 degrees with the wind chill.
Yeah.
It felt like 3.
No.
And you had 18,000 inches of snow.
And you
can't
ride a bike.
Yeah, you can't ride a bike in snow.
Unless your bike has skis on it.
I brought snowshoes, too, though.
Okay. Snowshoes, okay.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. Oh, in fact, the pictures of Mama and Max and Fred snowshoeing are up at StephanieMiller.com in the gallery section. You can email us all there. Like Jackie in Fargo did with an unsolicited testimonial to the Stephanie Miller Show, and more importantly, the Stephanie Miller Show sponsors.
We love them.
Steph, huh?
We
each and every one.
Click on every single tile ad
now.
You see at StephanieMiller.com. No!
Hi, Steph. I wanted to thank you and the fine people at ProFlowers for the gift certificate I won for my holiday story. I never win anything, so it was such a beautiful surprise. Oh, Jackie and Fargo, we thank you, and ProFlowers thanks you, particularly if you type Stephanie in the box.
I didn't know how many bouquets ProFlower sent you until I started living in your house.
Every week,
a new box of ProFlower shows up.
Why are you getting my ProFlowers? Rebecca, get on that. Give them my change of address.
But they really are beautiful. Oh, my God. I don't think I've ever received any before.
Yeah, that's how pathetic my social life is. Anyone that would come to my house, they'd be like, oh, who'd you get flowers from? I'm like, ProFlowers. That's me. That's my life.
Just all type right. Stephanie in the box.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. By the way, Mama just got booked on Joy Behar for tonight on CNN Headline News. So I will be on it. It's 9 p.m. Eastern?
Yes.
I believe 6 p.m. Pacific. And then I will be on the Ed Schultz Show on Friday on MSNBC.
Awesome.
So tune in for that.
So I take it your eye is better.
Yes, Jim, the lava lamp that is my eye, it's,
mm-hmm.
that little blood thing has rotated all the way down to the, around to the top now, so it's good so you can't really see it.
Oh.
It's almost entirely healed.
Good, I guess.
Yes. Yes, it's much better than it was. I can.
So you're actually presentable now.
Yes, yes. Well, the makeup can cover the little bruise and little gouge. I called Rihanna, and I figured out how to, come on. But I know how to cover that, but the actual white of the eye... It is, like one of those, like a doll eye. It's kind of, there's like a dot, like it just rotated all the way around. So now it's on top, so it's okay.
Dude.
Yeah. You can't really see it.
I thought you should get some of those glasses with the, fake eyes in them that kind of blink.
Yes.
What angle do you have?
Yeah. My eye almost, Jim, was like the eye on a spring. It really was. It almost, the doctor said I could have actually lost it entirely.
Great.
So that would have really been comedy glasses. Yeah, see, because I had to turn down Larry King a couple of times over the break. I would have actually been like, hi, Larry. It would have been like Roger
It would have been like Sammy Davis Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Or Sandy Duncan.
And you'd have to convert to Judaism, not Sandy Duncan.
That would have been funny. See, Chris, that would have been worth it. I would have just gone on Larry King with the eye like that and just placed a box of wheat thins.
What kind of fool am I?
Just a box of wheat thins right in front of me. No comment.
Right, I didn't know Sandy Duncan only has one eye until a couple of years ago. I had no idea. Grown up with her, had no idea she lost an eye.
Yes. I don't know how. I don't know if that was the same as me on a fireplace mantle. I don't know how she did it, but all right. Let's hey kids, let's dive into a 2010 version of Right Wing World with our very favorite Eric Bollert of Media Matters. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. You have I love the I love your post about farewell to another decade of liberal media bias.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Many of us have been looking for that. Where is that liberal media they speak of?
I know,
so much?
I know. Well, if you go, you know, it started with the recount and went all the way up to, you know, Obama, and what a decade it was. I mean, obviously the centerpiece was a lapdog press for Bush and the press's complete malpractice during the run-up to the war and all that. But, boy, you still hear about the liberal media bias, and that's been a moneymaker for the conservatives for four decades now. But to go back, really, the three main characters were how the press treated Al Gore, how the press treated George Bush, and now how the press has treated Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And if you look at that honestly in any kind of independent way, it completely obliterates this notion.
Well, I mean, the fact that they cover, you know, whether it's Dick Cheney, Eric, or any of them, you're like, 9/11 happened on your watch.
I know.
And you're
and
the
I
one
love
talking
how,
about he's not handling.
Dick Cheney and Palin now don't even have to talk to the press. They just, you know, Dick Cheney issues a press release, and Sarah Palin or someone who works for her posts something on Facebook. And Politico will, you know, it's like stop the presses. I mean, no follow-up questions, no interaction with anyone in the press.
And as opposed to 9/11, I hate to use the term with an underwear bomber happy ending, but at least it had the liquid explosives. It had a happy ending, is my point, you know.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, I give Politico some credit. I mean, they did a pretty good piece on how the reaction to the shoe bomber from 2001 and the partisan and the press reaction between the two of those events is just astonishing. I mean, Bush had a press conference or a press briefing 4 days after. Not one person even asked him about the shoe bomber.
By the way, I'm not a security expert, Eric, but just look at that friggin' guy's picture. How'd he get on a plane, for God's sakes? Just, I don't even have to work for the TSA. What the hell? All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world together, shall we? As you know, I fill in your own joke here. They did a test on Rush Limbaugh's heart and found nothing.
Hey.
However, I love that he says that he used this to say there's nothing wrong with the healthcare system in America. And then in the same article, Eric, he just signed a contract for $400 million.
Yeah. While his employer, Clear Channel, teeters on bankruptcy, Rush continues to cash the check. Right. I mean, what Rush Limbaugh confirmed was that the super rich and very famous have great health care and have access to whatever specialists they need. So that mystery has been put to rest.
Yes, exactly. Here it is.
The treatment I received here was the best that the world has to offer. And I based on what happened to me here, I don't think there's one thing wrong with the American healthcare system. It is working just fine, just dandy.
Yeah, if you have a gajillion dollars.
And I loved how earlier he was talking about he's up at his resort suite and he started feeling his chest pain. So he immediately called security and he was so impressed they were there with like in a minute. Because who, when they have chest pains, doesn't call security and doesn't come running to their hotel suite and whisk them away? So yes, everything is great in Rush Limbaugh's healthcare world.
Well, you know, but I think then the other point he was making is, oh, you can just call 911. It's like, well, yes, but that's part of what's breaking our healthcare system.
Then you
got
the bill.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, Newt Gingrich on Meet the Press on the Republican races in 2010 and 12.
I suspect every Republican running in 10 and again in 12 will run on an absolute pledge to repeal this bill. Most of the bill does not go into effect until 13 or 14, except on the tax increase side. And therefore, I think there won't be any great constituency for it. And I think it'll be a major campaign theme. This is a bad bill written in a horrible way. And the most corrupt legislation I've seen in my lifetime.
Wow.
Wow. So now they're not only the party of no, they're the party on anything that we haven't been able to stop. We're going to stop it if you vote for us.
Right. Well, you know, on the one hand, you know, I guess it's fine to have the debate, and it's up to Democrats to try to articulate, you know, why they did vote for it. But you're right. I mean, the party of no. I mean, they're going to have so many things to run on, which they oppose. It's just going to be. I mean, obviously, it's going to be an anti-Obama agenda, but I think people who watch politics realize and do campaigns for a living realize you really have to get elected, you have to be for something.
Yeah.
And it'll be very interesting in 2010 whether Republicans can simply be the anti-Obama party. I mean, in 94, when they did so well against Clinton, you know, they famously had this, you know, contract for America, and they at least pretended to be putting forward for ideas. This will be sort of unprecedented whether they can, as a party, just simply run against the guy who's in the White House.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, and where's the upside in that, Eric? It's like we're going to make sure that you can again be discriminated on the basis of pre-existing conditions.
Right, right.
It's like, what?
Right, you know, and again, that's up to Democrats to try to explain why health care was passed and why it was needed, and people can realize whether people can decide for themselves whether they think, as Rush Limbaugh does, everything is great, and you know, if they want their premiums to keep going up and things like that. So hopefully, maybe we'll finally actually have a health care debate, although I sort of doubt it because campaign seasons aren't the best time for those kind of things. But it'll be interesting to see how it starts to unfold.
Wow, listen to this rewriting of history by Mary Madeline. Apparently, George Bush is the one that inherited a recession.
I was there. We inherited a recession from President Clinton, and we inherited the most tragic attack on our own soil in our nation's history. And President Bush dealt with it, and within a year of his presidency, at this comparable time, unemployment was at 5%.
Inherited 9/11?
Yeah, she claimed that they inherited 9/11.
And the a recession.
Yeah, I don't know which is more shocking. I mean, they inherited a 4 or 5% unemployment rate, and apparently they inherited 9/11. I mean, it's just amazing.
Well, let me get this straight. Bush, or excuse me, Clinton, caught and convicted the guys that did the terrorist act on his watch.
Right.
Handed over unprecedented prosperity and peace. 9/11 happens on their watch, and she just, what?
Right. Wasn't there an infamous transition meeting where they sat down with the Bush people and explained how, like, the number one national security concern was Al-Qaeda, and then Dick Cheney and Ashcroft essentially gutted all,
right.
gutted all the...
Yeah.
All the money. So yeah, I mean Madeline, I mean that was just that's an all-time great. Inherited a recession and inherited 9/11.
Apparently, Bush had a time machine so they could go back in time.
Exactly.
And inherit.
All right. 17 minutes after the hour. Stay in the sidecar, Eric Bollard. We continue with more Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour, the Dow is up 134 points. Don't forget, Mama will be on Joy Behar live tonight on CNN Headline News, 9 p.m. Eastern. I'll be on with Fred Willard, I just found out.
Awesome!
Oh, that'll be fun.
Which will be way fun. Right?
Oh, my God. I love him.
Me too. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. And don't forget, on The Ed Show on MSNBC on this Friday, Eric Bollard joins us in the sidecar for a right-wing world. Oh, dear God, is she still around?
Huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ann Coulter, Eric, on the Beck Show. That's a little double dollop of crazy for you. Apparently, she was not apprised, Eric. She apparently does not read Media Matters that the Madrasa story is a complete load of...
I think if you polled Americans after 9/11, they would have said drop the political correctness when it comes to boarding airplanes. And like I say, Obama could be doing more than Bush. He is specially situated that way as having gone to madrasas as a child, not being a white male, which is, the height of political incorrectness.
See, he could help Eric more if he wanted to, being a
black guy
himself. Yeah. being a black dude.
I think she said plural, actually. Did she say madrasas? Like he was going from one to another? To
right. Yes. Yes.
Like grade shopping.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. He went to as many madrasas as Sarah Palin did colleges, apparently. Community colleges or whatever it is she meant.
I mean, this is just amazing. I mean, you know, this is the classic debunked Obama smear of all time. But leave it to Ann Coulter to dust it off. And that Fox show you mentioned is truly a dollop of crazy, because her co-host that day was Andrew Breitbart, who sat silently while Ann Coulter rolled out the Obama went to a madrasa smear. So, it's a perfect illustration of how facts don't,
right,
in reality, have no say in that realm. It's just whatever you want to do. And
well, she's becoming quickly sort of the Norma Desmond of wrestling world, isn't she? She's kind of like, he went to the madrasa.
She's been usurped by Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
Mr. Beck, I'm ready for my clothes. Yeah. What? No one told me that's been debunked. I have no idea. I have to go kiss the dead monkey. All right. Kevin Madden on CNN's American Morning on Obama vacationing in a foreign land.
And you also have to remember the fact is the president being on vacation in Hawaii, it's much different than being in Texas. Hawaii, to many Americans, seems like a foreign place. I think those images, the optics, hurt President Obama very badly. Yeah.
Hawaii is actually a state, and Texas has wanted to not be a state.
Right.
Of late.
That's right. They want
just FYI.
So Texas is less American than Hawaii.
Yeah, we've seen this. Cokie Roberts got into trouble like a year ago, and she made the same claim and said, gee, it's such a foreign nation. I mean, if you talk to, like, anyone who lives on the West Coast, you know, and who likes to or wants to vacation Hawaii, it's not that mysterious place. But I guess inside the Beltway, Hawaii, way over there, is just sort of the land of make-believe.
It's surprising.
Like the madrasa vein, you know, it's all very foreign. He's connected with these eccentric places, and
and it's surprising that Rush Limbaugh was able to obtain health care in such a socialist foreign land as Hawaii at the same time. Ironic, isn't it?
It is.
All right. Wow, did you hear this one? Britt Hume yesterday on the Fox News Sunday on Tiger Woods needs to find the Jahazis.
The Tiger Woods that emerges once the news value dies out of this scandal, the extent to which he can recover, it seems to me, depends on his faith. He's said to be a Buddhist. I don't think that faith offers the kind of forgiveness and redemption that is offered by the Christian faith.
My
message to Tiger would be, Tiger, turn your faith, turn to the Christian faith, and you can make a total recovery
and be
a great example to the world.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
How offensive is that?
What's that? I mean, it's a political, just beyond the total bizarreness of it. I mean, it's a political roundtable news show.
Right.
And all of a sudden, Britt Hume sort of breaks into his Jerry Falwell. He's going to start laying.
I know.
He's going to start the laying of the hands and stuff. I mean, it's crazy.
He's already speaking in tongues.
That's his own version of tongues. Yeah, that is wow. I mean, many of the women with Tiger apparently got very religious, but that's an orgasm joke. Anyway. Yeah. You know, I don't even know what to say about that.
Yeah,
it's
that
offensive
just
to Buddhists. It's offensive to
It's offensive to Tiger Woods. And you know, why is Britt Hume trying to decide for Tiger Woods what religion he should be?
It's insane.
That is insane.
It's not really. It's public relations. That's what you do when you get caught in a scandal. You proclaim your faith, which discovered.
Well, then that's offensive to Christians. You know, just using Christianity as a public relations tool.
Yeah. It's been going on for a long time.
No. So, Eric, before you go, that concludes another vomitous right-wing world, by the way. But before you go, I want to get your take on this, the right-wing's reaction to this whole underwear crotch bomber, whatever he is. I mean, you know, it's Jim DeMint, isn't it, that's been holding up pointing ahead of the TSA. I mean, it seems to me they've gotten revealed once again as the party of no, as the party of obstruction, and they're screaming at it, there's no head of the TSA.
I think what's been amazing is just the instantaneous, with minutes and hours before anyone on the Hill was even briefed. I mean, we had Republicans rushing in front of microphones to blame, you know, the President of the United States for apparently not being on that flight himself and stopping it. But the press just treats this as completely normal. Like, of course, you know, national security is always turned into a partisan issue. You know, of course it's always used for political gain. I mean, that was never used. If you go back and look at how the shoe bomber was dealt with, Democrats didn't say boo because there was no precedent for turning, you know, terrorist attacks into campaign fundraisers. I mean,
right.
It's just amazing. And the press just has played dumb, and the press still scratches their head saying, gee,
so,
why can't Obama achieve bipartisanship?
Yeah, and apparently all coming together as Americans, that's only
Republican
in charge that it happens on. All right, Eric Bowler from Media Matters, thank you so much. See you next week. We'll be back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Have you made any New Year's resolutions?
Stephanie Miller.
Yes. You know how I always dread the whole year? Well, this time I'm only going to dread one day at a time.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Katrina Vandenhoevel is the editor of The Nation coming up next hour. Do not miss that. She has a great new article on what we need to do in 2010 as progressives. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Let's go to Tim in Madison on Terror. Hello, Tim.
Welcome back, Stephanie.
Thank you, baby.
And everyone else. doing some, pretty simple Googling, I found several clips where in 2001 when the shoe bomber happened, that was still President Clinton's fault.
No way.
I think it's kind of hilarious that, we have all the national security that we have now. This plot, it never actually happened. Nothing severe happened. It's still scary that it came through. But like you had an earlier caller say, that's not more of the U.S. fault. It's more Nigeria's issue where you can just bribe anyone and get on a plane. And I just can't believe that the right wing is now spinning this as President Obama's fault when, they spun it all they wanted, saying that the shoe bomber was still President Clinton's fault because they could not get the security that we needed in place fast enough.
I have to say, it also, Tim, to me, it says something about them as Americans, and I'm sorry, because it just, there was all this said about how we all had to come together as Americans. When George Bush, despite numerous warnings, missed the worst security failure in our history with 3,000 Americans slaughtered. And it is just amazing. You're right, how they want to, nothing even happened here, and they want to immediately, use it as a political football. It makes you, we've said this before, but imagine, God forbid, something horrible does happen. Do you think they're going to come together as Americans?
I don't think they'll come together. I think the first thing they're going to do is blame the President Obama, the liberal media, the liberal administration that we have, which isn't very liberal if you ask me, and that it's going to be all our fault. It's going to be the Prius driving, recyclers of this country that they're going to blame. And it basically shows that they have no one empathy for anything. And two, they always play, it's not our fault. You did it. They're basically, jackasses where you can never convince them of anything that they're wrong. They're just going to argue until they're blue in the face and pass out dead on the floor.
Yep, they will use anything for political
points.
We should, thank you, Tim.
I think we should say we inherited from the Lieberman administration after he bumped off Al Gore. And
he's
the guy who caused it.
Over the
holidays, it's plausible.
I was actually thinking, obviously the fact that this whole, terror thing was in the news again, but, I used to live up near Croton Dam and Croton, where I mean, right, Croton Reservoir. It's actually it's the water supply for the city of New York, and they've closed it now after 9/11. They closed it because, obviously that would be a terrorist.
Same with Silver Lake here in Los Angeles. You can't get anywhere near the reservoir anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right, but I was hiking and snowshoeing stuff around there when I was up, for the holidays visiting friends. And I remember after 9/11 being up there, and I thought, the other thing is, this is a huge country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was looking around this reservoir. I'm like, and somebody was talking about it, I remember after 9/11, how small an amount you would have to put in there to poison New York City's water supply.
Mm-hmm.
It is almost impossible to secure the entire of Croton Reservoir. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying, the other thing is, it's thank God for the people on this plane. I think that what the president said, that's true, too. That's our biggest line of defense, you know, at this point is you know, people being aware and people reacting and people.
Yeah, but you can't depend on the American public being that courageous. You know,
but what I'm saying is there is no way you could, you know what I'm saying? This is a huge country.
Sure.
To secure everything. Yeah, you know, I'm just saying it's scary when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know how in a free country, obviously.
Well, a lot of politicians fought things that would make us safer. For example, routing freight trains around populated areas because you can fire a bullet at a tank full of ammonia and kill thousands of people.
Right.
So, but you know that would cost certain people money, and so it was never done.
Mm-hmm. Jeff in California on terror as well. Hey, Jeff, welcome.
Hi. Yeah, hi. First, I got to say, it's been almost a year since I've had a chance to listen to you guys because I got laid off in last February and I just don't get up this early anymore. And I listen.
Well, dare you? That's
yeah,
no excuse.
Believe me,
we wouldn't get up this early if we didn't have to either.
Well, apparently this is what I'm learning because I had real bad insomnia last night, so I'm actually still up. And what do I find is Steph's in New York, and Jim's married, Rebecca's married. I mean, it's like, what the hell is going on here? It's like it's driving me crazy. Anyway, let me take a second.
Yeah, you got to tune in. This is not like a soap opera. It's not the same stuff.
Yeah.
We tend to make radical moves. Go
well,
ahead.
Since I believe knowledge is in power, let me take a second to describe real basically what the explosives that this guy was trying to do, how they kind of work. If I could.
I saw the underwear, and I dated one guy in college whose underwear looked like that, but that was pretty
There's two kinds of explosives, basically. There's things like gunpowder, which explode because they just burn really fast. Mm-hmm. And then there are high explosives, which are things like dynamite and C4 and this stuff, PETN, which is basically chemicals that are with very loose molecular bonds, and so they're easily broken, and when they break, they release a lot of energy. The thing about high explosives is you don't set them on fire the way you do
my knowledge of explosives
it's
comes
like
almost
no,
in
the bowling ball with the fuse. That's like that doesn't.
That's
work.
I was just going to say. My knowledge comes entirely from the Roadrunner, where I think it's a big black ball with a fuse.
So what you need is you need what sets off a high explosive actually is another explosion, and that's what we use that we call them blasting caps.
Mm-hmm.
And most people have heard of this stuff called fusing cable, which is kind of the same thing. And so that's why Richard Reed, that's why that didn't work because you can't set this stuff on fire and have it actually go off. And what this other guy, the underwear bomber, what he was apparently trying to do, he apparently had some chemical in a syringe that he was trying to inject into either the PETN itself or something like next to it. I don't
want to
go there either. That would have like caused like
you know that guy's crazy because most guys don't voluntarily go anywhere near that with a needle.
That's
so.
A good point. That's a good point. But anyway, that would have started the chemical reaction that would ultimately have triggered the whole thing to actually explode. Steph, I've been wanting to ask you this for a long time about growing up in Lockport.
Yes.
When I was in college, I knew I had actually had kind of a crush on her, a woman from Lockport who was she was Polish and Catholic and would have been and she would have been about 8 years older than you. The family's name was Jarzynski. I was Mary Jarzynski.
Everybody
is
was
her
some
name.
Ski that I grew up with. I don't.
Okay.
I don't remember
wanted,
that name.
You know, you never thought. You know, I was like, I just thought I'd take my Kevin Bacon shot. Anyway,
all right. Thank
it's
you,
good
baby.
To hear you guys. You
me
look
too.
Great on Ed Schultz. MSNBC New York has really good lighting. You look so much better. You look so much better there than you do on like Larry King.
Oh my God!
It's really dramatic. It's really
thank
dramatic.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, and screw you. Happy New Year. All right.
You look next to the Jar Jar Binkskis, didn't you, in Lockport?
So were you the Millerinskis, and you had to change your name when Dad ran for Congress?
I don't. Did we lop off our ski? I don't think so.
I thought everyone Polish had a ski at the end of their
Polish.
Name.
My mom.
Oh.
My mom, pure Polak.
Okay.
All right. Jim, have you ever used that line, by the way? I need to give you an injection of my liquid explosive. Have you ever?
No, I think I'll try that.
Yeah, Janique will love that, I'm sure.
Maybe I'll be frisked.
So Marilyn in Chicago on a more important topic, and that is Sandy Duncan. Hello, Marilyn.
Hi, Steph. I just wanted to make a small correction. Sandy didn't lose an eye. I think she had a brain tumor, and when they operated, it damaged her optic nerve, and so she lost the vision in her eye.
Okay, but okay.
Well, the eye is intact.
The eye is real, but it doesn't see.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you for that, Mary. All right.
We got that cleared up.
We just wondered which eyeless celebrity I might have resembled.
Now, Sammy Davis Jr., he lost the eye in a car accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But I guess Sandy Duncan never lost her eye. She just lost her vision.
See, that would have been really, like, kind of even stupider if I had actually lost my eye to a fireplace mantle. That would really have...
Yeah.
In a solo fight, unaided by drugs, maybe with a fireplace mantle.
Could have sued the fireplace mantle industry.
That's what I'm thinking.
Could
have gotten some cash on that. I could have gotten like a fancy eye with a diamond in the middle or something.
Yeah, with some bling. Kind of like the grills that you see, you know, that rappers wear on their teeth.
Exactly.
You've got bling in your eye. That's commitment.
Hey, Kev, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Rush Limbaugh.
Got it all figured out. There was nothing wrong with Rush. He was taken to the Queens Hospital. Now, that's where we claim Obama was born. He was just doing undercover work there to try to, you know, break the fraud that we've been perpetrating on the American public since 1961. That's what Rush was really doing. He's just a little bit smarter than we liberals.
Yes, that was a coincidence, right, Jim? That Rush was at the Birther Hospital.
The Birther Hospital. That's
Cindy
hilarious.
In Michigan on Rush as well. Hello, Cindy.
Hi. I'm letting you know, now here it goes. Rush Limbaugh says that he loved the health care system, the health care he received in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And since Hawaii has its own employer-mandated social network health care system, then Rush loves health care reform.
There you go.
If you have the kind of money Rush does, you don't have to worry about what insurance is going to cover and the hospital bill and stuff.
Yeah. Do you think anyone in their right mind really believes he got no special treatment? He's Rush Limbaugh, for God's sakes. He makes $400 million. I don't even know what that is. Per how many years?
I think
Chris?
It's what is that?
Over 10 years?
I thought it was like 8 years.
8 years? Something. I don't know. It's a lot of money.
Well, don't you love when people say that about sports stars and stuff? They'll be like, it's a $300 million contract, but that's over 5 years. You're like, oh.
Well, then, that's okay.
For a second, I thought it was a lot of money. Oh, it's over. Okay.
I wonder if Rush was using stimulants to, continue the weight loss or started
well,
on the first
we
place.
Jim, we were talking about that earlier, that, you know, we've been talking about that in the studio before, that the, you know, that weight gain and loss over and over like that has got
to
be.
Especially if you're using ephedra to make it happen.
Right.
But
they had the audacity to ask him if he was on any painkiller of any sort, Jim.
What? Why would a doctor need to know that?
Where would they have gotten that idea? He was apparently very huffy about that. What? Why would you think that? Where would you get that idea that I was? Okay, 46 minutes.
What do you mean am I using drugs? Keith Richards cleans with the nose.
46 minutes after the hour, back with more on the Rush incident and the terror incident as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh my God, that's like my favorite show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. The Dow is up 143 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Terry in Asheville, North Carolina, on Brit Hume. Hey, Terry.
Yeah, happy New Year to all y'all. And
thank you.
I was listening to what you said about what Brit Hume said about Tiger.
And he said, yes, Tiger needs to be turned Christian.
Right. Now I'm a Christian, and I have no problem in saying that, but I am offended by him saying that.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that much about Buddhism, and I used to, but I was in college and I had to study for it, but I would think they would have a way of saying, you know, hey, don't do this or whatever, but to say it the way
yes,
you
I don't think any religion encourages the banging of cocktail waitresses while one is married.
Yeah, I mean, if there is, I'm sure there's a lot of men in this world who would be joining that particular religion.
Yeah, there you go. Terry, thanks for calling. It's a religion for some men.
Yeah. Well, Buddhism is more of a philosophy than a religion
right.
anyway.
And it's my understanding that it focuses more on forgiveness between people instead of forgiveness between you and, you know, a higher power.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
I think Buddhism would serve Tiger Woods quite well in this situation.
Hume was talking about using it as a PR move.
Yeah.
Say, I'm
yes.
a Christian now, so I'm forgiven.
I'm Christian. Uh-huh. I'm not a big hoe anymore.
Yeah.
Speaking of religion, Chris, could you take your organ out for me? A couple of Christian stories. Did you see that Rick Warren made a plea for it to close? Because, you know, we're all not doing so great in this economy.
Right.
But he needed help closing. He had a $900,000 deficit. And his plea for donations mm-hmm. brought in $2.4 million. So now he has a surplus in which to encourage the killing of gay people in Uganda or whatever else it is he's doing.
Think of the good that money could have done instead of going to that homophobic bastard down in Orange County.
Mm, yeah, yes. He said the appeal was posted online, included only money parishioners brought in person to Saddleback Church in this economy. Yeah. So he didn't manage so he got a bailout, essentially.
Yeah.
So that he can make sure gay people don't get married or whatever.
Why don't we ask our listeners to send in 10s and 20s?
Yes.
Please, bring the money in cash.
Yeah.
In a bag.
Otherwise, you're going to hell.
With a dollar sign on it to mama.
Yeah.
You are going to hell if you don't send us your money now.
Yes. How about this one? Despite massive layoffs and budget woes, Focus on the Family plans on spending $4 million on Super Bowl ads for their anti-choice propaganda.
Wow.
They were able to scrape up a little something. All right.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. But they're not paying taxes.
No. Yeah.
Because they're a church. Christian.
Yeah. Bill in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Over Christmas time, I've been laid off from the Ready Mix company here in Chicago since last December. So I thought I'd go to their Christmas party to see how everybody's been doing it, and haven't seen any of the old crew right. since then. And as we were sitting around, a lot of the drivers of the Ready Mix trucks for this company were all bemoaning the fact that on one level or another, they barely worked this year. A lot of them have been laid off for long extended periods, didn't make anywhere near the money they had been. And I said, well, yeah, you know, and I'm in management. And I said, I've been laid off since last December. They said, oh, well, we're all on the Obama work plan. And I looked at these blue collar, all white, blue collar construction workers and went, I like to think of it as a Bush work plan.
Yeah. It started in the previous administration. But
we all wonder where the who was the Republican Party talking to? These are the kind of mindsets they're talking to.
Well, and thank you for calling, Bill. Yeah, Chris, you mentioned this earlier, but Jim DeMint, you know, is using national security to union bash.
Yeah.
I mean, the Republicans will use any opportunity, you know, to union bash.
So why are these union guys still worshiping at the Church of Reagan?
Right.
You know, tried to destroy unions.
Like I said earlier, Jim DeMint is more afraid of unions than he is of terrorists.
Yeah.
That is so effed up.
You know, and I tell you, I've spent a lot of time with union guys and spoken to union groups. And salt of the earth. You know, the fact that what they're asking for and what they've been working for, it's fair. It's what American workers should be asking for.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really incredible that, you know, Jim, we were saying you're using this terror thing to try to score political points. Look, there's no head of the TSA. It's because Jim DeMint.
He's been holding it up.
Has been blocking it.
Damn that Obama. What an incompetent. Nitwit. How does he not have a head of the TSA by now?
What kind of boob could be blocking that? Jim DeMint used the attempted attack on airplane bound for Detroit as an excuse to voice opposition to unions. Fox News provided him a national forum for a broad attack on labor. Huh, no opposing voice. How odd.
Hmm.
The administration is intent on unionizing and submitting our airport security to union bosses' collective bargaining. DeMint said we have to outthink the terrorists, and when we formed the airport security system, we realized we cannot use collective bargaining and unionization because of that need to be flexible. DeMint has put a hold on the appointment of the TSA chief over his concern the new administration could allow security screeners to unionize and that his fellow Republicans cast votes against the key TSA funding measure the 2010 appropriation bill for the Department of Homeland Security contained, which included funding for the TSA, including for explosive detection systems and other aviation security measures. Because, like you said, Chris, Cuzzy's more afraid of unions.
Yep.
And he is, I mean... Unbelievable. And the president is the one that doesn't care about terror, right? The president talking about the airport incident.
I will do everything in my power to make sure our hardworking men and women in our intelligence, law enforcement, and homeland security communities have the tools and resources they need to keep America safe. This includes making sure these communities and the people in them are coordinating effectively and are held accountable at every level. And as president, that's what I'll do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sorry, Jim, go ahead. He was, you know, at least what I'm saying is he's admitting something happened and he's going to, we're doing a review of it. But, you know, like we've been saying over and over, thank God this one had a happy ending.
But there's some odd things about this whole thing. For example, it was said initially that he was doing this in response to the bombing of Yemen. The bombing didn't start till after the ticket had been bought. Had been purchased. So that's bogus. He was witnessed in the company of this well-dressed man, probably of Indian descent, maybe Pakistani. And this was not some rumor that you can call the guy who reported it. He and his wife saw this happen. And there was a guy in the plane filming the entire, I don't know when he started shooting, but he was filming the entire thing. So there, and follow the money, you know, see who's investing in airport security.
Was Ashton Kutcher on the flight?
Yeah.
58 minutes after the hour, back with Tinsel Talk, Katrina Hubel, Vanden Hubel from The Nation, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 2010 version. Happy New Year, everybody! 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere to join the party. Katrina Vanden Heuvel, editor of The Nation, has finally made good on her promise to come on the show after I jacked her up against the wall in the MSNBC hair and makeup room.
Finally pronounced her name right.
That's right.
Thank you. I've been practicing all morning.
Vanden Heuvel, I think. The original Dutch.
Hooven Vandal?
Hoover Vandal. Someone who defaces vacuum cleaners.
Yes. She will be on with her fabulous new article about what we need to do as progressives in 2010. Great, great piece in The Nation. StephanieMiller.com, the gallery section. Mama's vacation pictures are up of Mama snowshoeing with Mags and Fred. Mommy's now your mom. And you can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, surly associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Eddie did. Steph, what do you call terrorist underwear? Fruit of Kaboom. I cannot get enough of the crotch bomber jokes. I really can't. Okay, and Mama won't
Did
be,
you see a picture of the underwear, of the blowed up underwear?
I did. I seriously did date one guy in college whose underwear looked like that normally.
What had he been eating?
They look like granny panties. They look like granny panties.
Yeah. So, yeah, those were attractive.
He must have been hypnotized or something. Who is going to allow someone to put a bomb in in your underpants?
I mean, seriously, Jim, I don't care how radicalized you become. Nobody's going to...
I'm going to blow up what?
No, wait
You're
a minute.
Put a what next to my what? No.
No, I'm sorry. No, not going to happen. Sorry.
Yeah. And then we need you to take a needle and... No! Okay.
All right. I hate the great Satan and all, but hey, come on.
Yeah. Listen, I don't care how many virgins there are. I'm not putting a needle.
What am I going to do with 72 virgins if my crotch is blown up? Come on.
Yeah. What happens if
Haven't you thought this through?
What happens if I get to heaven? List. Then what? All right.
God.
Yeah. Even the most religious radical is not going to buy all that.
Right.
I don't think. All right. So, Mama, on the, Joy Behar tonight on CNN Headline News, I'll be on with Fred Willard, which should be way fun.
He was
9 p.m.
He was the best part of Best in Show.
Best in Show, I know. Oh. Yeah. Hilarious. Yeah. And then Friday on the MSNBC show with Ed. Yes, Mama's eye is better. You can check out my vacation pictures. It's the lava lamp. It has finally floated. The blood's floated up to the top of my eye, so you can't really see it. All right.
That's kind of gross.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of disgusting. I showed a few people on my cell phone. I still had the pictures of my eye. And I would just show people. Look at that.
Were you trying to make friends? What were you doing showing random people your eye?
I don't know. It's kind of impressive at some point. All right. But wouldn't you know, Rush Limbaugh had to try to one-up me on the radio talk show host injuries over the holidays. Whatever. Go ahead and fake a heart attack.
Rush Limbaugh, I hope the country fails. I hope his kidneys fail. How about that?
Missed it by that much.
We have confirmed the 58-year-old Limbaugh was taken to the hospital by ambulance after complaining of chest pain.
He's a dumbass. Give you a heart attack,
and they found absolutely nothing wrong. No coronary disease whatsoever.
Damn! This is a
Rush Limbaugh.
Because their pain was real.
And a permanent stiffy from off-market Viagra.
And they don't know what caused it.
Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh.
Ask your doctor if your heart is strong enough for sex with young Dominican boys.
Allegedly.
Just shut up!
Thank you, Shano.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be happy to know, everybody, that if you make $400 million, the American health system will work just fine for you. Rush has confirmed that.
Hmm.
So that's a... Seriously, Jim, what the hell did he prove? If you call 911, you get... Yes, you can get health care if you call 911.
No, he didn't even call 911. He called the hotel security at the posh resort where he was staying. Of course they're going to come within a minute. He's
Rush
Limbaugh.
He has the same treatment as anyone else that stays at a several thousand dollar a night resort in Hawaii on their $400 million contract.
Oh, Stephanie.
Yes.
We have a Sandy Duncan update.
Oh, thank you.
A Kirk Emo on Twitter tweeted, I know the doc at UCLA who removed Sandy Duncan's eye. It was an ocular tumor. He married her later. He married her afterwards. Later on, they divorced. So there you go.
My eye doctor here didn't seem the least bit interested in me.
You didn't put out.
Well, if you saw pictures of my eye last week. Zoinks. Donde los. Yikes.
Yeah, but that doctor saw her with no eye at all. And he still married her.
That could turn a lot of guys on. Okay. You know, guys.
Let's not go there.
They'll stick okay. Well,
oh,
anyway. Did you hear that?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm all the way in New York. I didn't think you heard it. Okay. Yeah, Rush Limbaugh says that he had not suffered a heart attack and his physician did not know the reason for the symptoms that resulted in his. He said, Rush said, I wish I knew what it was. All people can do is make wild guesses about it. Oh, you know, guesses, Jim, like maybe it's caused by taking 1,000 Oxycontin a week or maybe off-market Viagra.
No, it's probably from stimulants to get the weight off.
Hmm.
Ah. I love this part of the story. Limbaugh shot down speculation that he's again taking painkillers. What? That's crazy. Where would you get a painkiller story from?
Well, if we get him out of the Vietnam War, I guess, you know.
Amid news reports that he had told paramedics when they arrived that he was on medication for back pain, asked if he was taking painkillers, he flatly said no. He said he's taking prednisone, a type of steroid used to treat inflammatory diseases. He said the American healthcare system, it's working just fine, just dandy. My friends, it's working dandy.
But prednisone makes you bloat up. And he's lost all that weight.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make sense.
He wouldn't be taking prednisone.
Yeah, I don't. All right. Somebody, by the way, so I went to, this is where I used to live. I visited friends up where I used to live. So I used to drive there every day and I didn't remember how to get there.
In posh Westchester County?
It's not all posh, but here's the thing.
Some of it's scary.
You can back
some
me up
other Spice
on this.
Girl?
I don't trust my GPS system. Do you use your GPS system in your car?
I use my GPS system when necessary. Turn right. I said right, you idiot.
Yeah, but you can't follow it blindly, Steph.
One couple was stranded for 3 days after their GPS led them astray.
Well, yeah, that happens.
I'm telling you, there is evil in your navigation system.
Well, it took them on a service road, which, you know, most times of the year would be, you know, completely passable.
But in winter.
Well, however, here's the thing. That the system, like Rush Limbaugh, has no soul. It has if you say shortest route, it gives you shortest route. So this couple in Nevada, it gave them a route into, like, a forest and where they got stuck and, yeah.
Remember when we were in Denver for the convention?
I was just going to say that. See, here's the problem. So we were in Denver
garbage
for the convention.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
Yes. And the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money, he didn't realize that it was set to, what was it set to, Jim?
Avoid highways.
Avoid highways. And so we drove from Boulder, Colorado, which is about 30 miles away, to Denver.
I think through Telluride.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We took the polar route.
Yeah. It took us on everything except for the highway. It was all surface streets there. And It took us
two and a half hours to actually get to Denver.
Yeah.
We were under the impression that we were staying in Denver, the city by the bay, for the... probably...
We love you, Denver! City by the bay!
Yeah. Somebody's GPS told them, system told them Denver was the city by the bay.
Yeah. But you know what? These people were kind of stupid. I mean, if they're going on a road that is getting more and more snowy as it goes on, and it's obvious that the road hasn't been plowed, they probably should have turned around.
Yeah.
Yeah, but some people blindly follow their GPS system.
Well, then they deserve what they get.
Like some people blindly follow Rick Warren and send him money, yes. And this is what happens. All right.
As long as people don't blindly follow Britt Hume, I think we'll be okay.
I can't refer to
what?
That's 35% of the time in a firm answer.
That would be funny if GPS did, Britt Hume did the voice of your GPS system. Then it would be even more confusing. Turn where? What?
Speaking of GPS systems, you know, my black friend Rodney?
Yes, the official black best friend of the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's right. Well, he works, what he basically does is he licenses music for Fox's animated shows, and so he works closely with The Simpsons. And they sent him, The Simpsons sent him a Christmas gift of a GPS that had Homer Simpson's voice on it.
Oh!
How cool is that?
I told you to turn right.
That's awesome.
Ooh, yeah.
Beer.
You know what? I just don't like, maybe I'm oversensitive. I don't like the judgment in the voice when they recalculate.
Recalculating route, you moron.
Mm-hmm.
Recalculating again.
I don't need that sort of attitude. I can get that from you, too, at work.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Can I have some happy music, please? I have to give my friend a plug because, you know, we had a really for last year, didn't we? Last year was for, in my personal opinion.
Kind of.
Wasn't it just everything? The economy? It was a decade is all I'm saying. We could use some good news. My friend who owns HealthyLife.net, HealthyLife.net News, it's all positive news. Jim, I could get you a job as an anchor there. It's starting today. That's today, January 4th. You will have a choice on how you listen to news, a positive choice. They have a lot of veteran broadcasters. They've gathered together to provide news delivered straight out without the fear, negativity, propaganda, or skewed political
That'll
views.
Be short.
You know, like we could do a version of that, Jim. We could be like the underwear bomber failed, but he blew his own penis off.
Ew.
So, you know, just something that would make people a little positive spin on the end.
That's not positive.
Yeah, genital mutilation humor, Stephanie.
Yeah, that's,
come on.
What?
It's a terrorist, I'm just saying.
I'm not sure that he was. I think he's...
Really?
I don't know. There's something weird going on there.
Ooh, we may be, do I smell a conspiracy corner this about the crotch bomber this week?
We'll see. We'll see.
All right. It's baking in the easy... Oh, by the way, my niece's kid, I spent Christmas with them, she got an easy bake oven. And I
they
didn't feel old
those?
Anymore. Exactly. Kids are still asking for easy bake ovens.
But they have energy-saving bulbs inside there now.
So. Yeah, if you put a fluorescent bulb in there, it won't work anymore because those are cool to the touch.
Yes, kids are too green now. Now it doesn't even work.
I'd be waiting 20 years for anything to cook.
The cake will dry out on its own before it bakes.
All right, anyway, go to HealthyLife.net today if you want to check out some positive news. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack and Katrina Vandenhoevel from The Nation as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
And we'll be right back.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Glenn in Ontario, on terror. Hello, Glenn.
Good morning, all. Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too.
Jim, you touched on this terror, this phony terrorism here, this patsy that they set up. These things have to be exposed right away. The media's gone nuts on this thing for over a week, just about 24/7 on this thing. How does this guy get on a plane without a passport? Who is this handler?
Right.
And why doesn't he have a lawyer?
Right.
Why haven't we heard from this guy?
And why wasn't the why was the story out there that he was doing this in response to bombings in Yemen, which had not yet occurred when the ticket was purchased?
Yeah, these are good questions, and I don't hear it on CNN. I don't hear
That's why you had to wait for the Stephanie Miller newscast to come back.
It's so important to expose these things right away because the fear factor is starting to wear off on people, and they're going to have to come up with bigger events, bigger than 9/11.
Yep, thank you, Glenn.
And
you know,
who's cleaning up on this security technology? Somebody's making money on that stuff.
Jim, leave it to you. You not only usually bring the lucid conspiracy angle on things, but you bring the more important guy angle, in my opinion, and that is no guy is going to agree to...
No, unless he was hypnotized. He's no way is he going to carry a bomb in his crotch.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, it would blow up anywhere. You know what I mean? If it's on your body, you're just not going to get a guy to say, would you put a thing next to your and then also inject something in it? There's
Well, I think they would be more effective if they hired female terrorists. They could put up their hoo-ha like that lady with her keys. You know.
You had the most cogent defense of Tiger Woods. Is that why? When you say why? Because look at his beautiful wife.
Because he can?
The same reason a dog licks his because he can.
Yeah. And none of those girls were anywhere near as attractive as his incredibly gorgeous wife.
Thank you. It's the Hugh Grant doctrine.
Yeah.
Just
well,
saying.
Hugh Grant wanted to be naughty. So I found a $50 hoe. She was
all right.
Not
here's someone that had a worse hotline than I did.
It didn't matter. I was being naughty.
I almost lost my eye. This woman dated a guy, an East Georgia man trying to get revenge on his estranged girlfriend by firebombing her home, was being held without bond after he threw the device into the wrong house.
Great.
Oh. So she's probably even sorrier she didn't procreate with him.
Huh.
I hate when that happens. All right, there was another plane incident beside the crotch bomber over the holidays. Ivanka Trump. Taken, did you hear about this?
Yeah, it's the Palm Beach version of terrorism.
Yeah, she was escorted off a plane in Florida after she became belligerent when children were running and screaming in the aisles.
That sounds like you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. She ran out of money and had to fly screaming baby airlines like we always do. Yeah, thank you. Welcome to my world.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking, and welcome aboard Screaming Baby Airlines. If you are not currently sitting next to a screaming baby, a screaming baby will be issued to you. We'll be flying at an altitude of 30,000 feet. Should we experience a change in cabin pressure, a screaming baby will drop from the overhead compartment. Remember to put the screaming baby on your face first, and then put it on the screaming baby next to you. In the event of a water landing, your screaming baby is also a flotation device. Once again, thank you for flying Screaming Baby Airlines. Flight attendants, prepare the cabin for burping.
Here's, I have to say, I haven't done this, Chris, and you've traveled with me. She actually cussed out the children.
Oh,
and
dear.
She became even more aggravated when the flight attendants tried to calm her, so she was removed from the plane.
In flight? That would have been something.
Yeah, push her out the window.
Dave in Chicago on GPS systems. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, the couple in question who got themselves snowed in for 3 days, it's a little worse than what you guys were talking about because they proceeded on. They had a snow shovel in the car. The husband got out and dug the SUV out, and they proceeded forward until they got stuck again, and he had to dig them out. And at that point, they thought maybe they should turn around.
Yeah, that's I know what you mean. That's a little bit too much blind belief in your GPS.
That's something you would do, Stephanie.
Yeah. It's like, no, it says this way. Anthony in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on terror.
According to the CNN website, the 14 countries fall under the TSA's new countries of interest label.
Yes.
Four of them, Cuba, Sudan, Syria, and Iran, the rest of them are just countries of interest. Why is Saudi Arabia just a country of interest? And why is Cuba listed as one of the four that sponsor terror? I didn't know that I thought we were trying to normalize our relations with Cuba.
Yeah, and it was actually right-wing terrorists that blew up a Cuban airline.
And
they protected those guys.
I just want to finish by saying that Hal Sparks, I thought he almost alienated your entire audience last week with his terrible music that he was playing.
Hmm. What was he playing?
Oh, he was playing
heavy
like
metal.
This terrible
heavy metal.
Rock music, this heavy metal
Rash
stuff.
Metal.
It was really bad,
right,
but Rebecca Baker is back in my good graces. Thank you.
All right, thank you,
yes.
Rebecca Taylor, to you, or you'll be out of her good graces.
Hal was playing music that he liked.
Oh, how dare he when Mama's gone. It's like voodoo. We don't play that kind of music.
He's playing Operation Commando Eagle.
Yeah.
It's an eagle without
underpants. Some people on the live blog said it was an improvement over the music that they usually hear. So, you know, you can't please anybody. Seriously.
All right, whatever.
At least there was no disco.
Listen, I left the pot roast in the freezer. I don't care what you kids did while I was gone. All right, Amy Winehouse charged in an alleged theater assault. What? What could
that
mean?
She assaulted a theater?
Now, that's how you know you're really screwed up.
Yeah.
You are really drunk. She was charged with in connection with an assault at a theater. Media have reported she was struggling with a member of the theater staff after heckling at a performance. In the other celebrity stack story, I think that somehow goes with this one, Charlie Sheen blames a drinking for his alleged attack on his wife.
Hmm.
I say Charlie Sheen and Amy Winehouse just get married and the whole thing is solved. There you go. Charlie Sheen. Okay, 28 minutes after the hour, Katrina VandenHeuvel from The Nation is next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
To determine the answer to the question, is
Stephanie Miller
dumber than a hamster?
What?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. Jim, I have a brand new 2010 version of Guess the Quote for you. My box is very loud. Who said,
maybe you're hiding explosives in there.
These are times which will test our willingness to work together towards larger goals, even if we don't agree on everything or how to get there in the short term. This next year and moving forward will demand that we work together, either side by side or in some kind of meaningful coalition, to create a more fair and just and peaceful world. Who said that?
John Madden.
I don't know.
No, I know it was a big football day yesterday, but no. It was Katrina VandenHeuvel of The Nation on where we must go as progressives in this new year, which I found just dandy. Who said, how do we navigate between radical visions and pragmatic possibilities? Anyone who believes the progressive left has ever been a monolith is, well, clueless. Who said that?
Katrina and the Waves.
A better guess, though. But no, Katrina VandenHeuvel in The Nation. Jim! Who said, from a political and organizing perspective, the Bush years were fairly simple, though grim, for progressives? But a defensive crouch is not a good or healthy place to be. Our work is more complex now, and the possibilities are also more hopeful. We're entering a year which will demand navigating an even more challenging terrain. In many ways, the first year of the Obama presidency was less complicated than the coming year will be. Obama's candidacy and election galvanized so much hope. Now we confront our very real disappointments and also the very real limitations to what can be accomplished in our deeply flawed democracy. There is a sense now of a hard, slow grind, and that tends to wear people down. Yes, there are sweet victories we have won, but what seems clearer is that one election isn't going to change the order of things, and even though the country may have rejected conservatism in 2008, it's yet to fully embrace progressivism. Achieving that goal will require more than one election, and more innovative, nimble, and creative thinking, organizing, and activism. Who said that?
Ed van den Heuvel, Dutch astronomer. No?
A better guess, but no. Hmm. Katrina VandenHeuvel from The Nation. Have we tracked her down yet? Has my GPS located her?
No. Not her or the waves. Okay.
If she doesn't show up and I run into her at the Ed Show on MSNBC on Friday,
you're going to clock her.
Yeah. Hair and makeup.
Uh-huh. She's going to need some eye work. Yeah. Maybe you should set up an interview with the Vandenhoevel asteroid.
The what?
There's an asteroid called Vandenhoevel. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, we will continue to track her down. But, yeah, I mean, I just, you know, Jim, you joked about it during the primaries about being Kyle's. You know, if you don't get everything you wanted, you're voting for Nader.
I know people who are on that wagon now. I can't vote for Democrats ever again.
Oh, man.
You know, I mean, because Obama's not the progressive that everyone was hoping he would be.
Yeah, well, Hal Sparks obviously in for us the last couple of weeks, and, you know, I agree with a lot of what he says. He's a happy, clappy liberal like I am, that I feel like, you know, and somebody else wrote a piece, Chris, where was it? I'm thinking, just a great piece on Obama's first year that I really agree with. It's like, did I get everything I want in healthcare? No.
No.
You know, am I sure he's right in Afghanistan? No. But, you know, I think he's done an awful lot of good, and I think it's a hell of a lot better than a McCain. Just think about it for a minute.
Right.
A McCain-Palin administration.
A hell of a lot has been accomplished. Absolutely. Yeah. It's just, you know, the stuff that hasn't been accomplished gets more play in the media because, it's a sexier story.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I understand the impatience on gay rights. Obviously, I'm a big pro-gay marriage advocate and all of that. And I think gays in the military should be such a non-issue at this point. But I agree with Hal that I think he will get there. And I think you have to look at the alternative. This is a party of complete gay bashers on the Republican side. You really think we'd be doing better on these things or have any snowball's chance?
And Phil Graham would be the economic advisor for the president. I think we need less regulation. That's what the problem is, too much regulation.
Yeah.
No!
Yeah. The guys that got us there in the first place, exactly. Can I have my fine American music, please? This is what I was thinking of. Michael O'Hanlon. It was in the Politico. Mm-hmm. Did you see his op-ed? And he's he's a fancy guy.
He is a fancy guy. He's got some book learning.
He's a Brookings Institute senior fellow, Brookings something, defense foreign policy issues type stuff.
Whatever. He paid a lot for that degree.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He writes, Vice President Cheney has been excoriating President Obama's foreign policy approach the last week of 2009 with the attempted plane bombing and the tragic attack against CIA operatives in Afghanistan capping off the year helped set the context for these criticisms. But in fact, Obama has had a very solid first year in foreign policy matters. By one measure, comparison with other first-year presidents in modern history, Obama ranks with the three or four best since World War II, by my estimation. And I write this as someone who opposed him during the primary. He was a Kyle, Jim. Largely because of my fears at the time that he would not be strong on national security. My solid assessment of his first year in office, not based on his words, because everyone keeps saying, oh, so he gave some good speeches. He said, or vision of hope and change so much as sound policy decisions. Obama has gotten a few major matters moving in better directions, limited the damage or found the least bad policy when faced with a menu of bad choices on other matters, and set the stage for possible future progress elsewhere. He inherited an improving situation in Iraq and very troubled situations in Afghanistan and Pakistan, and with the help of an outstanding national security team, he made the right calls on all three wars. In Iraq, the campaign, he adopted a relatively pragmatic and gradual drawdown plan for U.S. forces there. As he always said, Jim, we have to be as careful getting out as we were careless getting in.
Hey,
right.
I did it.
I said it right. On Afghanistan and Pakistan, the change has been enormous. Obama will triple U.S. combat forces in Afghanistan in his first 18 months, a remarkably resolute decision for a first-term president. Here, Cheney's criticisms are badly off the mark. The fact that Obama took 3 months in this past fall to approve the second big troop increase of his presidency reflected natural skepticism about why a second buildup would do the trick when the first had not, together with a need to use the prospect of American recommitment as leverage with President Karzai. On Afghanistan, Obama has been exemplary. Again, this is Michael O'Hanlon's opinion. And on Pakistan, a place represented the U.S. with no real good options, Obama has more than doubled U.S. Aid solidly back Pakistan's democracy. Anyway, he closes by saying, for his poise, his deliberateness, his ability to juggle numerous issues, and most of all, the quality of his decisions, Obama is off to a very solid start. All right. Speaking of fabulous writers, I can't believe it. Where's my butter commercial music? I've gotta get this right. Oh, for the love of God! I'll just do a party music. How about that? Katrina Vandenhoevel is finally joining the party from The Nation magazine. Good morning, Katrina.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I am good. I'm thrilled to finally have you on.
I'm thrilled to be on. I just catch glimpses of you in what they call green rooms or something.
Yes, exactly. I jacked you up against the wall in hair and makeup at MSNBC and demanded that you come on the show.
No pressure applied. It's happy to be on. So you've been talking. Lots going on this morning.
Yeah, lots going on. I was talking about your piece in The Nation, which, you know, is really a lot of what we've been saying, Katrina, that, you know, we talked about this during the Democratic primary, us just ripping each other apart. And you talk about, it's just a great piece about what we need to do as progressives in 2010. Talk to us about that.
Well, from where I sit, Stephanie, The Nation is a big tent. The Nation magazine, The Nation is too. And they're progressives across the spectrum. People who are listening in, I'm sure, know what I mean when you think of health care reform. They're progressives who feel we've been shafted and don't want to pass anything, and there are others who think, well, we build on this. And I was trying to make sense of how we move forward together, how we, you know, the left progressive community doesn't engage in a circular firing squad, but instead keeps our eyes on the prize, which is to build a country more just, more fair, more peaceful, and navigating between those kind of more radical visions and pragmatic possibilities is what I hope we can do moving forward, you know, because I think we all want to, and the other point I wanted to make is everyone has his or her own disappointments. Also, sweet victories moving into 2010. But I think the betrayal sweepstakes, as I call it, where we're going to tick off and moan and groan, you know, that kind of feeds into and empowers our adversaries and doesn't allow us to do the kind of creative thinking and strategizing and organizing. So, yeah, we need to stay critical-minded. We need to do the accountability reporting. But we also need to lay out the alternatives and keep fighting for those.
And you make a good point that it's the Bush years, it was a no-brainer.
Right.
The worst administration ever. But I think you're right. Now that we're in power, it really is a little trickier. And like you say, we truly are a big tent, whether it's your magazine or progressives in general.
In general, yeah.
Right, but you're absolutely right. You write, just as Obama's campaign was built on a base of organizing, online activism, civic engagement that preceded him, so the success of his presidency in this Congress will depend on the strength of the progressive infrastructure.
That's
if progressives don't support these structures for policy development advocacy, further failure will be a self-fulfilling prophecy, and the fault will be not in our star but in ourselves. I think that's a great point.
And I think that we need to continue to build our, it's such an unsexy word, infrastructure, but we need to build our movements and our infrastructure, because I think one thing so many people learned is that it takes more than one election. You know, I mean, change is hard, and what exactly change means. I mean, one thing I also wrote about is the hope that at this magazine that we go, quote, deep, meaning I think we really need to look at the structural obstacles, which we've seen bared so blatantly, like in the healthcare reform fight, the filibuster grip. I mean, these are all kind of the rudiments of a system that isn't well equipped to deal with a mandate for change, even though, of course, we need to fight for a pro-democracy agenda. And I do think that the issue of the filibuster is going to be a big progressive issue in 2010, but so will money in our politics. The amount, I was reading some figure today, Stephanie, you probably saw it. I mean, selling, $3.3 billion of Wall Street and lobbyist corporate money has flowed into Washington, marinating and basting congressional and other folks.
Well, and speaking of people, I've just been in the MSNBC green room with. You mentioned Jeremy Scahill and the amazing reporting he was doing for you guys on Blackwater and all that. I think you're right that our work is just beginning. And when you write about progressive infrastructure, by the way, I assume you mean that Stephanie Miller needs to get more radio stations.
Absolutely.
All need to work on that.
Yeah, we need your voice amplified. Absolutely. One thing I didn't talk as much about except to mention, people like Jeremy Scahill, who, I do think one thing we do at The Nation is invest in reporting at a moment when, we see the crisis of journalism, which is not new because, the run-up to war in Iraq and the financial crisis, we were let down by much of our media. On the other hand, investing in someone like Jeremy to do the reporting on Blackwater and to invest in people to travel around this globe or around parts of this country which don't get covered. But it's the media. Your first issue can be war, your second the economy, but you know, your second issue better be the media. That's something Michael Copps, who's now at the FCC and has been for the bleak years of Bush, now they're under Obama, has always said, because that's where people are getting their news and their information.
Yep. Katrina, let's play Guess the Quote before you go. Hope is not optimism, which expects things to turn out well, but something rooted in the conviction that there is good good worth working for. Who said that?
Seamus Heaney.
Oh, that's right.
Nobel laureate and poet. Yeah,
wow.
Wonderful.
Katrina's good at that.
Well, she ends her piece with that. She says, let's come together in 2010 and work for good. And I couldn't agree with you more that now the work begins. A lot of people think, oh, we got him elected, now we can sit back. I mean, now the work begins, absolutely. So thank you for doing the Lord's work over there at The Nation and on the show.
Thank you very much, Stephanie. And may you get more radio stations and much more in this new year.
I think there needs to be a big piece in The Nation on that. All right. Katrina VandenHeuvel, editor of The Nation. Thank you so much. There she goes. There's nothing wrong with bullying people in hair and makeup at MSNBC, Chris.
Yeah, but then they kind of show up a little bit late, you know, whatever.
47, that's all right. 47 minutes, what am I, the Pope? 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We're an unusual family.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour. Don't forget, Mama will be on Joy Behar's show on CNN Headline News tonight, 9 p.m. Pacific, with Fred Willard. So that will be way fun. And then on The Ed Show on Friday on MSNBC. All right. Kathy Griffin, by the way, speaking of people on CNN, she dropped another vulgarity on CNN on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, she kind of dropped an F-bomb again.
Oh, boy.
Oh, did she really?
Yeah.
Well, it's a New Year's tradition now. She was co-hosting with Anderson Cooper. Oh, she was mispronouncing the Falcon Heaney's name, his first name.
Yeah.
Sounded a lot like the F word.
You know,
the network.
Did you call him Heaney also, just to double down?
The network said in the statement, it regrets any profanity was used during our New Year's Eve coverage, although they did hire Kathy Griffin, so one would think that they might have seen that comment.
Kind of asking for it.
You know what, though? Watching Kathy Griffin and Anderson Cooper together is so much fun, because...
Yeah, because he's so uncomfortable.
He's so uncomfortable. It's all this nervous giggle that he has.
He's the same, you know, he's the same way with me, because, you know, whenever I'm on Larry King, you know, when he goes to Anderson in the break to see what's coming up.
Right.
Like, he's always like, ha, 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 that's quite a lively discussion you have going there, Larry. Because it'll always be like right after something uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Wow, that's something. I'm really uncomfortable now, so I'm just going to laugh.
Not as uncomfortable as Jack Cafferty makes Wolf Blitzer, but still, you know. Still.
Oh, Jack, I wish you hadn't said that.
Okay,
Wolf. What kind of name is that anyway? Wolf.
Yeah. Bristol Palin has filed for sole custody of a Tripp, Sarah Palin's grandson. Johnson,
or
she's trying
son.
To keep the proceedings.
Yeah, depending on who you talk to.
They're trying to keep Sarah Palin is trying to keep the proceedings secret. What's his name? Levi Johnston said to his lawyer, said in the ruling, I do not feel protected against Sarah Palin in a closed proceeding. I hope that if it is open, she'll stay out of it. I think a public case might go a long way in reducing her instinct to attack. God, family values once again. Oh, speaking of family values, Karl Rove, Tubby McTreason got divorced over the holiday.
Another gay marriage ruined his relationship.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it was.
Yeah.
Wasn't he proved to be behind the lawyer firings way back in August?
Yeah, why seems like it.
Why is he not in prison?
Seems like, yes, his next marriage should be to someone in a prison shower, it seems like.
Yeah.
Just me, perhaps. All right, so we were mentioning earlier, Rush Limbaugh, it's an odd, can I have my conspiracy sausage music, please? It's an odd coincidence, isn't it, Jim, that he was sent to the birther conspiracy hospital?
Yeah. He was sent to the evidence.
Same medical center that a UPI international reporter misidentified in an article as the facility that President Obama was born in. Jim, I think we've previously discussed why they could get things wrong in Hawaii, because there are entirely too many A's in everything.
A lot of glottal stops, too.
The error was corrected to accurately indicate he was born at Kapa'alani.
Not Kapa'alani.
I still can't pronounce the name of this, the main street in Waikiki that my hotel was on.
What is the name of
it's
it?
It's Kala'alala.
Oh, boy, that's
something.
Sorry, which hotel are you at, bro? I know where that one is.
Oh, boy. So, by the way, they're at it again about the Rush Limbaugh thing that the left was so hateful. Mm-hmm. Look, I think we all ought to disavow anything on the Internet on either side.
Right.
Apparently there was some...
Well, yeah. When you're on the Internet, you're anonymous. So you tend to say the most
like
outrageous
me
things.
And Rachel Maddow and whoever, we're not going, oh, gee, I wish he died or whatever, you know.
No.
But what kills me about this...
So to speak.
As it were.
Yes. These are the people that, you remember Rush Limbaugh himself referred to the death of Jerry Garcia by calling him a dirtbag and just another dead doper.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you remember he
him.
Also predicted Ted Kennedy would be dead before the health care bill was done. He was very chuckly about that and about how he was right about that. That was, you remember a lot of the teabaggers that he promoted. They showed up with those signs, bury Obamacare with Kennedy.
Yep.
So that was all okay, I guess. Obama's Tom Coburn, you remember on the health care debate, he said what the American people ought to pray is that somebody can't make the vote tonight. And so a lot of Rush Limbaugh's fans at places like Free Republic assumed he was talking about Robert Byrd.
Mm-hmm.
So they were, yeah, they were very, you can imagine, sending good thoughts his way. And then this recent, you remember the Pray for Obama, all that stuff, the teddy bears and buttons and the bumper stickers that say Pray for Obama, Psalm 109:8. That means the one
pray
that says,
me.
Let his days be few, let another take his office, let his children be fatherless and his wife a widow.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, it's the left is so mean-spirited about Rush.
God.
All right. The president was talking about the Christmas incident with the crotch bomber over the holidays.
Our nation is at war against a far-reaching network of violence and hatred, and that we will do whatever it takes to defeat them and defend our country, even as we uphold the values that have always distinguished America among nations. Make no mistake, that's exactly what we've been doing. It's why I refocused the fight, bringing to a responsible end the war in Iraq, which had nothing to do with the 9/11 attacks, and dramatically increasing our resources in the region where Al-Qaeda is actually based, in Afghanistan and Pakistan.
And now Yemen, apparently. And
Yes. Mm-hmm. At least he's not attacking the wrong country. President talked.
Let us remember this. Our adversaries are those who would attack our country, not our fellow Americans, not each other.
Oh, I'm sure Representative Peter King listened to him. Oh, or did he run directly to a microphone, I wonder?
This was a failure and a breakdown from beginning to end.
Total failure breakdown. Look what happened.
Representative
Dan
Burton.
He is such an opportunist, that Peter King, isn't he?
Yes, Representative Dan Burton, Republican.
She said that the system worked on television last week, and that just shows that she's out of touch, and I don't think she's competent enough to run that agency.
Yeah, she may have misspoken, but she
Napolitano.
Was handling a lot of things at the time. Yeah, I think that what she was talking about is the system was working clearly after this in terms of, and frankly, the outcome was good in this. You know, I mean, I think that we've also succeeded in terms of the American people and being vigilant. All right, that's it for us today. Don't forget Mama on Joy Behar tonight. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.